You're listening to The Extra Point on 1410 KGRN. The Extra Point is brought to you in part by Kurtz Collision Center, First State Bank, Meskwaki Travel Plaza, Cox Sanitation and Recycling of North English, Great Western Bank of Sully, William Penn University. Now here's your host of The Extra Point, KGRN Sports Director Chris Varney.
Good evening and welcome to The Extra Point here on 1410 KGRN. Scott and I were talking and just visiting here, and I was like, uh-oh, we got to go on the air. it's kind of bittersweet for me because, Scott, I think you and I have become friends, and we've gotten to know each other a little bit over these 8 years. So I'm sorry that I don't get a chance to talk with you any more after this. Well, I'll just have to call you up periodically and just do a coach's corner, everything. But I'm happy for you that you get a chance to retire. It is our retirement show, so to speak, here on The Extra Point on 1410 KGRN. Coming up later in the program, another friend of mine who's retiring as a football coach, Cal Goodchild at Benton, has announced his retirement. We got a chance to talk to him earlier today. That interview coming up later in the program, but right up first, he's retiring after 33 years as a coach at Grinnell High, 11 as an assistant, 22 years as the head football coach for the Grinnell Tiger boys team. He was also an assistant at Grinnell High football for 12 years and also assistant at Grinnell College football for 16 years. Scott Sharp with us here on 1410 KGRN. Good to see you, Coach.
Well, it's great to see you too, Chris. And you mentioned the friendship, and that's right on spot. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And if you ever want to call me for whatever reason to interview or whatever, or we can just talk, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, maybe if Craig misses like a game, you know, if he has to miss the game or something, I'll bring you in for a caller one of these days. Maybe that's a good idea. Not that I'm trying to push Craig out the door, because Craig and I have been working with each other for 8 years, and I love him to death. But you know, I'll be flat out honest with you. I greatly admire you and what you've done. You know, I've had a chance to work with a lot of great coaches over the years. I think in basketball, one of my favorites in Sioux City, long time there, was Jeff Vanderloo at Sioux City East. He's now an assistant at Creighton,
yep,
under Doug McDermott there. Great guy. Some other great coaches while I was in Sioux City, but I would put you amongst some of the best boys basketball coaches that, you know, maybe some of the best basketball coaches that I've ever had a chance to work with. You've just had so much success, and you've taken pride in what you do. And there's a lot of people that have a lot of respect for you. It's like a couple years ago, I never shared the story with you, but I was at the state cross country meet. And Bud Legg, who's just recently retired as the communications director for the Iowa High School Athletic Association, he came up to me and says, "Hey, how's Scott Sharp doing?" I mean, just totally out of the blue. He asked me how you're doing, and I was like, "Fine, he's doing great," and everything like that. And so I think you have a lot of respect around the state, and I think that people have respect for you here in Grinnell, and I think you're definitely going to be missed. But, you know how have you been able to – what has the reaction been from you since this kind of story broke? It broke on Twitter, of all places, which you don't even tweet, but broke on Twitter and Facebook on Sunday.
Well, Chris, first of all, thank you for sharing that. That's awfully nice of those folks to say those kind of things. I don't know if I've – in my own mind, if I've lived up to those kind of things or not, but it's certainly nice to hear, and all that starts with the community that we're in, the support that we have, excuse me, in our activities. You know, I'm going to say athletics and our fine arts at the high school, and the and our academics as well. But there's, you know, just the full support of the community, great kids to work with, great staff at the high school, and so forth, And all of our programs at the high school should be very proud of what they do, and we're all striving to get better all the time. As far as my reaction, this is I didn't know how the reaction was going to be, actually, just because you know, the thought about this has been percolating for a little while. It wasn't just a decision that my family and I made over the weekend or anything, But it is a little bittersweet, like as you say, and I knew there would be an adjustment period. So far, it's been new enough. I don't think the adjustment period has been taking place yet, but it's just some people have had some awfully nice things to say, and so I appreciate that very much. But it's just time to maybe focus energies in other places where I can help out and turn the reins over to whoever the next very qualified candidate will be to have the privilege and the honor of being on the head coach of the Grinnell boys basketball team.
I guess I never asked you, did you go to high school here in Grinnell?
I did.
Yeah,
I did. I'm a 79 graduate.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I you know, this is a situation where
a lot of people get a chance to coach at their alma mater.
You're right. And that's why I kind of pinch myself almost daily because of that and how things have come to be. Yeah, I was born and raised here in town, went to high school here. Ended up coming back and being employed at a wonderful, fantastic company, Grinnell Mutual. And back in 1985, the 85-86 season, they actually needed a sophomore boys basketball coach. And Coach Kriegel at the time was the varsity coach, asked me if I'd be interested. A few talking to people later, and here I was a sophomore coach. And then it's been, as you said, 32 or 3 years later. But I'm very proud to be a graduate of Grinnell High School. A lot of people don't get to come back and be involved in their own alma mater, and it's certainly been a huge blessing. I'm very, very thankful for that.
Scott Sharp, retiring as boys basketball coach at Grinnell High, with us here on 1410 KGRN. You know, I always wish I was here when Steve Kriegel was here too. I wish I was here. I wish I was here instead of Sioux City almost, because, and I treasure my time there too. But I would have liked to have been around, because I hear so much about Coach Kriegel. What was it like to coach with him? What did you learn from him?
Well, my first experience was he was my sophomore boys basketball coach, and he was actually an assistant varsity football coach at the same time. And he took a group of kids in our class as sophomores that hadn't had much success in middle school or all the way up through. And we ended up being sophomore league conference champions. How's that for a memory at that time? But he had a way of relating to us kids and us players, and had an intensity about him that was a fierce competitor. You can ask anybody that knew him, and that was probably one of the number one things that came about that they would tell you. But he taught us the game, and not that our previous coaches hadn't tried to do that as hard as they could, but for some reason it just clicked with him, and we went on to have a very nice basketball career then, and stayed in touch. He was also my high school baseball coach. He was my high school football coach, and so we crossed paths an awful lot, and it was natural then, after my college years, coming back to Grinnell here, Lisa and I, getting married and settling back in the Grinnell community, that our paths crossed again, and we were great friends. And then when he asked me to coach with him, I thought, oh boy, I hope I don't let him down. And it was wonderful. I learned a ton about how to relate to players, how to try to manage games, all the behind the scenes things, that a lot of folks, unless you're right involved in it, don't really know what come about or the things you deal with and so forth.
Do you still see parts of him in some of your coaching today?
I try to. I think anybody that coaches and has come up with or up through playing that particular sport and being coached by other folks in that sport, you take pieces from everywhere. We run a lot of the, I wouldn't say a lot of the same drills, but a lot of the same kind of practices and so forth in our practices. It's the fundamental type things in basketball really don't change. And it's just a matter of how you can educate your players and relate to them in a manner where they understand it and how they feel or how they can figure out how important it is.
How long was he the boys basketball coach at Grinnell?
I'm going to say...
Guesstimate.
I'm going to say his first year was around 84-ish, maybe. 83, 84, somewhere in there. I know...
And you took over.
My coach was Denny Hansen, and he left in 79. And then Digger Phelps became... he was the assistant to Denny. He became the head varsity coach then. And I don't exactly remember, but I think it was about two or three years in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve, somewhere around 84, I think, 83, 84 in there. And then up until his death in 1997.
So your first year was 97?
Yeah, my first year as a varsity head coach was in 1997.
So you think about it, there's only been two head coaches of Grinnell boys basketball since 1983.
Well, that
1984.
That's how that would go together, I guess. But
yeah. What was it difficult when you, I mean, to become a head coach was probably, it's everybody kind of remembers their first job. Your first head coaching job is your alma mater, but you're also replacing really your mentor. What was that like?
How do I describe that? Yeah, overwhelming a little bit at the beginning. Fortunately, lots of support from our administration. The assistant coach at that time was Coach Kriegel's longtime assistant, Mike Johnson, who still lives here in town. He was a big help that year as well. Coach's death, hit us all really hard. But we all kind of banded together as a school and supported each other through that. I remember our basketball players, we obviously dedicated that season to try to do everything as well as we could. And so we all made it through there.
It was a tough situation.
Well, it was a tough situation.
Because here you are, you're taking over for a legend who passes away. But at the same time, it was an opportunity for you to thrive. But, I mean, nobody likes to be, taking over a position in that type of way. I mean, like I said, it must have been a tough time, but at the same time, a little exciting. But then you almost feel guilty for being feeling exciting.
Well, we just tried to make it through and make the best of everything that we could. And Steve's wife, Susan, and her children, Laura, Bruce, Emily, were all right there with us, full support, there. They were, of course, going through their difficult times, grieving and so forth, too. And just was the way that we all just band together, which is what this community does when things, things that you don't want to occur happen to occur. And we made it through that year. I believe, looking back at it, we had a winning record by two or three games. That was also, our second year in the Little Hawkeye Conference, if I remember right. I do remember that year for lots of reasons, but we ended up beating a Pella team twice that year during the regular season that had Kyle Korver on it. So that was a big accomplishment for the kids.
Doesn't have fond memories of Grinnell.
I do. Well, a little bit. He was a junior that year, I think. But then we ended up that year kind of on an exciting note because it doesn't happen very often. But we hosted Pella the first round of the tournament, but we got to play at Darby Gym at the college, the old Darby Gym,
right?
And that was I remember that night pretty well. Close game at halftime, and then Kyle Korver kind of took over in the second half, and we didn't really have an answer at that particular time, and so Pella ended up winning that particular game at Darby that year. But I think we finished somewhere around 11-9, 12-8, someplace in that vicinity, and for the circumstances and so forth, I thought the kids did a great job, the community did a great job, and we as coaches just tried to hang in there as best we could with everything.
But you went to state in 99, so that was pretty close afterwards right there after that.
Well, it was.
Like the next year.
That would have been the next year. That's an interesting story, too. And some parents of players will probably remember this. But we were kind of struggling along that year with about a 500 record or so. That was some players on that team were JT Anderson, Justin Jansen, Jack Whitfer. Those names, that particular team and those particular players and a lot of their teammates ended up finishing runner-up in the state football playoffs that year.
Mm.
That
was the year they lost to Harlan?
To Harlan, yep. No, yeah. They lost to Harlan in the championship game. So we made our way through the season and had a draw at the end of the year where we had to go to Nevada, the first round of the tournament. And Nevada was, 16-3, 17-2-ish, someplace in there. They'd only lost two, three, four games that year. We ended up playing them tough the whole game through. I remember they made two free throws to go up by 2 points with, under 20 seconds left in the game. We came down and ran a little pick-and-roll type play for JT Anderson at the top of the key. Justin Jansen sets the screen. JT dribbles off the screen, and the young man that was guarding JT went underneath Justin's screen, so that left JT a little bit opening at the three-point line, and I'll be darned if he didn't nail the three-point shot as the buzzer was going off.
Wow.
And here a Grinnell team that was, I think, maybe 9-11 at that time or 10-11 at that time, something in that vicinity. I can't remember if we played 18 or 21 regular season games by that time, but the change had been made. But here we were. We won our first round tournament game that way, and then we ended up winning two more, the sub-state against Perry at Johnston, and that put us in the state tournament where we were defeated by Davenport Assumption in the first round, but they were the eventual state champions.
Wow. JT Anderson, of course, he did some color with us here on KGRN. I worked with him for 1 year, and then he darn left me for, I think he's still at Marion Lindmar.
I believe he is.
I haven't talked to him in like forever. Of course, Jack Whitfer is the president of the state senate in the Iowa legislature. We're talking with Scott Sharp, who has announced his retirement after 22 years as head basketball coach for Grinnell High School. We will take a break. More with Coach Sharp after this. You're listening to The Extra Point here on KGRN.
You're listening to The Extra Point.
Jesperson, a half-court heave.
It is good! It is good! He made the shot! He made the shot from the half-court line! Panthers win!
Chris Varney talks with more guests coming up on 1410 KGRN.
The Meskwaki Travel Plaza on Highway 30 west of Tima, Toledo has always been a great convenience store with gas, snacks, fresh food, the Sub Shack, and more. But did you know they also have a great smoke shop with a wide variety of tobacco products and native brand cigarettes? They also offer CBD oil in various drinks. Plus, they have showers, cat scales, hot and cold food, overnight parking, trucker's lounge, and more. And don't forget the Sub Shack, located inside the Travel Plaza. Be sure to ask about their specials available throughout the week. The Meskwaki Travel Plaza and the Sub Shack, a convenience store and a whole lot more. Visit MeskwakiTravelPlaza.com for more information.
When you get into a car accident, you feel out of control in more ways than one. But it doesn't have to be that way. Hertz Collision Center in Grinnell wants to remind you of your rights. No insurance company can tell you where to get your car fixed, and you don't need multiple estimates either. It's your choice. Get your car fixed your way, not someone else's. Hertz Collision Center can handle the insurance companies. They'll take you through every step of the way. All it takes is one call, 236-0323, and you'll be back on the road in no time. Trust Hertz Collision Center in Grinnell to work for you.
Are you tired of all the misleading ads today? Businesses promise one thing and do another. At First State Bank, we grew up with the same honesty, integrity, and work ethic you did. We care about our friends and family. Our commitment to you has never changed in over 100 years, nor has our first priority. We're here to help you with all your financial needs, and we are still locally owned. This is Steve Russell of First State Bank in Linville, Sully, Grinnell, Brooklyn, and Agency. Member FDIC.
At Ron Cox Sanitation and Recycling in North English, their business is picking up, and their business is serving you for your sanitation services. If you need refuse containers for your home or farm, Ron Cox has them. Bring in your recycling material. They accept corrugated cardboard, newspaper, magazines, white paper, junk mail, clear, brown, and green glass, plastics, and aluminum. Call 1-800-504-9068 for charges and acceptable material list. Ron Cox Sanitation and Recycling in North English.
You're listening to The Extra Point on 1410 KGRN.
Is this heaven?
It's Iowa.
Iowa?
Yeah.
Now from the plush KGRN studios in the heart of Iowa, here's Chris Varney.
All right, back here on The Extra Point on 1410 KGRN, we're visiting with Scott Sharp, retiring as boys basketball head coach at Grinnell High School. And Coach, we were reminiscing before about your first state tournament team was 1999, and then you went again in 01 and 02. You really kind of had your streak of state tournament teams. I mean, you had those 3 and 4 years right there. Then it was 06 and 07, back-to-back years. You finished third place, which was your best finish, winning the consolation game in 06, fourth place in 07, and it took another 5 years or so before you went back, and then you had three straight years with the, you know, the, for lack of a better term, the Eli Dunn years. But and there were obviously other players involved there. But is there, when you think back on that, is there any, you got any explanation for that? It's just kind of, they kind of came in waves, but I guess that's sort of the way it works sometimes in basketball.
Well, it does a little bit. It's interesting how do things do happen like that sometimes. You know, back in the early part where we were talking about in 1999, I also remember in 2000 we came within 2 points. Knoxville beat us by two down at Central College in a sub-state game, which was a game we probably should have won. but anyway, and then back in 01 then was a Nick Wilkins, Aaron Wagle, Joey Gallagher, Joseph and Christopher Dougherty were our starting five. Brian Conway, the principal at Davis right now, was one of our players off the bench. And we went to the U.S. Cellular Center that night, first time we'd ever played, and played an Olwine team that was really talented. A couple of University of Iowa football players on that team, a quarterback at UNI on that team. And Nick Wilkins drops in 7 threes that night, and with a lot of help from his friends, and we end up upsetting a really good Olwine team. But anyway, back to the question. We, you know, those
no, you want to go on tangents like that? You're more than welcome. That was good.
those situations, you know, obviously you have to have players, you have to have skilled players to be able to get to the state tournament. Obviously. But then also there has to be in some cases some luck of the draw in there. I mean, there's been plenty of examples across the state over the years of maybe two to three really good teams being put in the same sub-state. And then you're at the bounce of the ball, who plays the best on that night. Plus there's all kinds of games that come down to one team that's maybe got better talent, just doesn't play well that night. Somebody else plays out of their head. So there's some good fortune that goes along with it as well. As far as the 02 team, that was one that I believe David Arsenault was a freshman on that team. Jason Wagner was a sophomore. Stephen Bogus was a sophomore, but I believe was injured with or had a knee injury from football that year. So he kind of missed most of the basketball season. And we had a young man named Frank Hattelstead, who was a 6'8 player. Who's a great story for anybody out there that might not have the basketball success come to you right away. He was a young man that I think was a B-team player all the way through middle school, didn't play much as a sophomore, played some as a junior, but then as a senior had a really good junior year. Anyway, that team beat Independence at Cedar Rapids Jefferson and made it to the state tournament. Then it took us a couple more years to get together, and then, you know, Nick Wagner, Brandon Sharp, Adam Schmidt, Will Eilert, those guys as juniors, Ryan Mahaffey, Cody Jensen, Zach Van Arkel, I come to mind, Peter Weir as seniors in 06. We had a great nucleus there that played, and a lot of underclassmen finished third in the state that year, great senior class. And then those kids coming back in 07 was, you know, you kind of get in that groove. If you're bringing a lot of guys back, you know you have the makings to try to get there. Then it's just a matter of how it falls together, and you have to play well. And fortunately for us, we certainly did. A young man that Grinnell fans from 12 or so years ago will remember, Troy Peter, played a key role for us in that 06 team. And Troy's father, Russ, was a worker at Maytag or worked at Maytag in Newton at that time. And that was about the time that Maytag left the Newton area. So Troy actually finished his last two high school careers in Michigan, 2 years in Michigan, and was an all-state player there. So he certainly would have helped us there. But, you know, things just go together. The three later years, the Eli Dunn, Joe Schmidt, Joe Noesel, those years, Dylan Gretzky, Jordan Eli, Nate Criswell, Andy Falk, J.C. Abrahamson are all in that group. Just was a run that these kids went on that I don't know what the exact figures were, but I know they won somewhere like 57 to 58 games in that 3-year span and really did some nice things. So
That was my era. That's when I came in. We're talking with Scott Sharp retiring as boys basketball coach at Grinnell High, and that was 2012. My first year here was 2011 when I came in. I came in summer right about baseball season of 2011, just after Memorial Day. I remember vividly in the Roundhouse beating Iowa Falls. We were just talking about that off air, upsetting them. It was sort of considered an upset mm-hmm. when you won that sub-state final. And all I remember is they hadn't done the remodels of the Roundhouse at that point, so it was still a little bit older. And I just remember the kids just running up the steps, coming to attack me to go on the air. I didn't think I was going to have to interview the whole team at the time. So I was a little trepidatious because I didn't know everybody yet, kind of. But here they are running up, and we interviewed the whole team in the post game there, and I got through it. Even interview Bruce Kriegel, because you brought him up there.
Sure.
That must have been a neat moment, just to, for those guys. It was fun for me to witness it, and of course I was yelling and screaming on the radio and doing what I did, and didn't go to the state tournament. And I will never forget the first round game, Waverly Shell Rock, Eli's offensive rebound out of nowhere off a miss by J.C. Abrahamson in the corner. It was like right in front of me, because I was right on court side. He misses that shot. He was on the baseline behind the backboard. I mean, he was as close to going out of bounds as you can. Threw the ball up in the air, and out of nowhere, Eli pulls down an offensive rebound, makes it, and is fouled, and goes to the line for a three-point play, and that's why he won.
That was a big piece. But you remember things pretty well that way. I don't remember everything, but I do remember that.
All those pieces, it's almost like I'm still there.
Well, you mentioned that 2012 season or that team, and the one thing that I go back to that I enjoy thinking about that season is those kids that were seniors that year. That was another class when they were coming up through the 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade years, had really not had a lot of success winning basketball games. And you thought there were some pieces there, and they just needed to kind of come together and meld themselves together. Their senior season, they put it all together, withstood some injuries. I remember Dylan Gretzky was a really good basketball player for us, but he missed most of his senior season because of a football knee injury. But yet he comes back the first or middle part of February, gets himself in the groove. And I remember he had a huge steal right in front of our bench against Waverly Shell Rock that helped us come back and actually cut down a 16-point deficit that we had in the third quarter.
Yeah, you were behind.
I remember that steal, and I remember Jordan Eli making a lot of three-point shots. And then I also remember Eli Dunn's rebound putback that kind of got us going. And I remember with about, I don't know, 25 seconds or so left in that game, I reached over to Coach Baker and Coach Faulkner, and I said, "We're actually going to win this." and the look on their face and their reaction was priceless. But we did. The kids pulled away and won that game. The great thing about the state tournament is you got to win the first game, because then you get to play two more, boys are set up right now. And unfortunately, we lost to a Mount Pleasant team in the semis then, but they went on and won the state title then a couple nights later.
Scott Sharp, retiring as boys basketball head coach at Grinnell High School, with us here on 1410 KGRN. We know now how you dealt with winning. How did you deal with losing 2 years in a row, or 2 years ago? Only one win. That must have been, I mean, it was frustrating for me and Craig, I know, but how did you deal with that?
Well, it's probably frustrating for everybody. But you know, that's high school athletics. Honestly, if you're going to win some and you're going to lose some, and the winning and the losing really should kind of take a back seat to what you're trying to do to help kids. And and yes, we practice as hard as we can, we play as hard as we can, and we want to try to win as many games as we can. That particular year was there was just a lot of different factors that came into that. A lot of it was inexperience. A lot of it was our skill level just wasn't up to the skill level of a lot of the opponents we have. One thing I should say is I was just thinking back through these last 5 or 6 years in the Little Hawkeye Conference. If you go back through and start looking at all conference teams and people's rosters, there's probably been, I think most of the coaches in the league would probably agree that the last 5 or 6 years, the talent has always been good in our conference. Good to above average. I mean, you know, or I should say better than good, but average to above average. These last 5 or 6 years in the league, there's been some exceptional basketball players in the league, and then teammates to go around them too. And some teams have 2 or 3 of those exceptional players. Others have one that have great role players along there. We just happened to hit a season a couple years ago where we just didn't have that, compared to some of the other folks. And you know, people have asked me how it was to go through that season. And I said, you know, yeah, the losing was difficult on everybody. Fans, parents, players, coaches, everybody involved. But it was still very, very enjoyable to go to the gym every day because of our kids, because of their attitudes and the way that they tried to get better. It's not that they were just loafing through practice all week and then we'd show up and take whatever happened to us, but they were working hard. We were trying to get things done. We'd play well in spurts, but just not consistent enough to be able to hang in there. So, you know, it's something nobody wants to go through. But I've kind of has always thought. Every coach should go through in basketball, every coach should go through a 25 win season once, and everybody should go through a 0-1 win season once, because then things get put in perspective. And as long as you're there trying to do the best things that you can for your kids and trying to teach them things along the way, then that's all worth it.
Scott Sharp with us here on 1410 KGRN. There's some issues in the game that I want to get your thoughts on. One is Montezuma, of course, went to the state tournament this past year, and they lost to a private school, Grandview Christian, in the semifinals. There's some people who are maybe they're jealous, or maybe they're disturbed by how much, and I'm not going to say parochial schools, but I'll say private schools, how private schools are controlling basketball and really controlling high school sports. And maybe it's not equal footing. Maybe their ability to recruit. We even see public schools openly, you know, bringing in players from around the state. We saw that in Marion in girls basketball. Are you troubled by that at all?
Oh, I don't know if troubled is exactly the word, but this has been the private school situation has been an issue for a long, long time. There's been a talking point. I guess I shouldn't say issue. A talking point for many, many years. And there's different states that try to balance it out somehow a little bit differently, whether that's playing up a class, whether that's having a separate type tournament or something. But, you know, I just put my faith in the Athletic Association. The people that are doing that have done this for a lot of years. It's like a lot of things. There's probably many, many things that none of us have considered that they have to consider through everything. And they're doing the best they can. Now, that doesn't solve a perceived problem or a problem, but I thought this year actually was I think one of the first years in a long, long time in our class, in class 3A, that there was not a private school in there.
Yeah, two public. It was Norwalk, Oskaloosa in the finals,
and all 8 teams there wasn't a private school there. So, you know, it just happened to be that way. Players moving to wherever, that seems to be
Pella dominating football. You know, I mean, one could say, yeah, private schools have an advantage, but at the same time, public schools just have to find a way to just be great too. I mean, you got to step your game up. If you can't just cruise your way and win a championship in any sport.
No, not at all. It should be. You should have to work as hard as you can and hone your craft as hard as you can and then or as well as you can, and then put your product out there and compete. It's all about competition, and the thing to me that's ramped up is that everything is year round now. There are places that and different kids get to choose different things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to be really, really good, it's like everything else. I'm sure you had to train yourself and to be a great broadcaster, just like everybody's vocation. You have to work at things. You know, the
I'm still working at it.
Oh, we all are. We're all a work in progress.
Well, it's everything. A thing. Specialization is pretty much what you're getting at. Athletes, and when I've talked to college coaches, I mean, they like it when a kid has played basketball and football in multiple sports, and it makes them better athletes overall. But yet, some parents and some kids feel like, well, if I'm going to get a college scholarship in basketball, then I need to only specialize and only play basketball. And then you have other parents that you've been victim of the transfer bug too. Your team was, you know, you had players recently that they transferred to Linville Sully, East Marshall, you know, they left you, and your team might have been different, you know, 2 years ago if certain players had been transferred. So you've had to deal with that too.
Well, that's just all part of the landscape now. And, yeah, as far as specialization goes, you can probably find cases on both sides of the coin that some kids have really benefited from that. Other ones, maybe it didn't work out the way they wanted to. I just pay attention to our situation here, our community and our school. We need to have all of the athletes playing all of the sports if we can, to be able to be competitive in everything. And you mentioned also the various, you know, every sport has various muscle groups that are more important to it than others. And just being a great athlete will take you a ways, but yet you do have to find that extra time if you really want to be really want to specialize in something and really have a love for a certain thing. You have to work at it, and that means carving out time. We all have 24 hours in a day. It's just how we spend it. But it's not my place to judge or tell somebody what to do. Everybody, we all get to make those choices. Everybody does that. As far as everybody has their own personal decisions, what they have to make and how they want to have things work out for themselves.
Last issue I'll leave you with: should Iowa adopt a shot clock for basketball?
I had a feeling that might be coming here.
I asked Brett Meniga that same question. He's not the executive director, but he's like second man in charge at the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and he seemed to think he's in charge of basketball for the IHSAA. He seemed to think it wasn't going to happen.
Well, there's a lot of things. Once again, it's pretty easy for us for people to sit here and say, yes, we should have that. Mainly because they watch college games all the time, pro games all the time, those kind of things. But yet when you really start getting down to it, you start looking at expenses for schools, how that plays into it. You start looking at if you're going to have a shot clock, and I think it would be neat if there was. I'm not necessarily sold that that's the best thing for the game, because a high school game should be kind of the purest form of the game, in my opinion. But then, you have to have trained people that know how to run it at the right, or you're going to have all kinds
got
of
another volunteer at the scores table.
Well, that's the thing, a volunteer or a paid position, whatever you have to have. So it's just more resources that way. It's one more thing for the officials to have to take care of. And
I won't even ask you about that.
But
issue.
It would be, I've always thought it would be kind of neat to coach with a shot clock, to have some of those last, under 10-second type things in the shot clock, and have your players have to be aware of that. And it's interesting talking to our kids that have gone on to play college basketball. Almost every one of them I've spoken with has made some comment about, yeah, the first couple of days of practice, the shot clock went off and I had the ball in my hand and this and that. So it just takes a while to get used to. But it's so I don't know. I'm not going to be surprised at all if it never happens. I'll just leave it at that.
I only got two more questions for you. I know you got to run, you got a meeting coming up. You said that your coaching days may not be behind you, just maybe varsity coaching days. You want to get involved in youth sports in some way. You want to improve the youth. What are your goals there? What would you like to do in terms of coaching younger kids and teaching them fundamentals?
Well, once again, this is just my idea, and I've talked to a couple people about it. But we have a great community here. And I think I have a passion, I guess, for wanting to try to help our elementary and middle schoolers maybe have more opportunities, which maybe that means just opening the gym up a couple nights a week for skill work or something. And I don't want that to sound like it's just a selfish basketball type thing either. I mean, this doing things in the gym will help you athletically as well, and it doesn't have to be just basketball related. It can be other sport related too. But just opportunities for kids, and I don't know what that looks like yet. I want to talk to some different people. I don't know if there's a way to do that because, once again, it's going to be a balance. We have a lot of kids in this town that love to play baseball. That's awesome. I love baseball myself. We want to have all the kids, run cross country or play football and just be involved in things. One of the things I keep hearing over and over is we have a lot of young people that just maybe aren't as active as they could be, and maybe they just need to have the opportunities to say, hey, the gym's open here, or we're going to go do this, and maybe that will have some interest that way. So, like I said, I don't know what that looks like yet. I've got some work to do there, but I do want to try to help, whether it's our park and rec department or whether it's another avenue somehow, but just trying to continue to keep the interest of things going here with a vibrant community that we have. That will keep me a little bit in touch with the program as well too. And if the next the next head coach that comes in has a completely different idea on what to do with youth basketball and so forth, then by all means, that person needs to call the shots. And if he needs some help doing something, fine. If he would rather not have me around or that way, then I'm fine with that too. I know it could go either way.
Scott Sharp retiring as boys basketball head coach at Grinnell High with us here on 1410 KGRN. Lastly, Coach, 30, 40 years from now, some people are sitting in a, wherever, and they're talking about the years of Grinnell High basketball, and your name comes up, and, oh, yeah, I remember when Scott Sharp coached that team, and he took them to 8 state tournaments and everything like that, and they start talking about you and your legacy. What would you like them to remember the most?
Boy, that's a heavy question.
That's why I asked it
to leave there. But, I when I was fortunate enough to be asked to step in for Steve, in 97, I my main goal was I wanted to just have a great experience for the kids and be a caretaker of the program. And, you've rattled off some things there that have happened in the last 22 years that things have fallen together well to be able to do that. I guess the main thing is I tell our parents at every parent meeting every year, my goal is that every one of the kids in our basketball program, but in particular the varsity team, have a great experience. Wanting them to leave knowing and feeling like being out for basketball has helped them in some form, fashion, helped them be a better person. And that doesn't necessarily equate to playing all the time or being an all-stater or being an all-conference player or being the best player. But just knowing that you can put your whole heart into something and work as hard as you can at it, and at the end of the day, just lay your head on the pillow at night knowing that you did your best. Yes, I would.
Coach?
I guess I just leave it at that, but thank you.
Coach, I it's been fun. Every interview that even the good and the bad times, we've shared some over the last 8 years. You've had a lot more years here in this town over the years, and you have given so much to this program, to this high school, to this community, and I know you're not going anywhere, but we'll miss you on the sidelines next year. It won't be the same, no matter who's the coach. I greatly respect you, and I wish you nothing but the best in your retirement, and I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's been an honor. Appreciate it.
Scott Sharp, I called him on Monday a legend. He is. We've talked to a lot of legends here on this show after they retired, like Wags, when Paul Wagner retired. We talked to him, John Dayton, when he retired, Jim Dunn, when he retired, when Joe Hulsing retired. We're slowly losing some of our great coaches here, but I know there's a lot of other great coaches in the wind, and Grinnell High basketball will get a good one. But think about it. Only two guys have run those sidelines in the last, 40 years or whatever. Coach Kriegel and Coach Sharp. I wish you nothing but the best, my friend. Scott Sharp, retiring as boys basketball head coach at Grinnell High School, with us here on 1410 KGRN. I'm telling you right now, we're running over the top of the hour because my interview with Cal went a little bit longer than I have allowed it. So we're going to run over Fox News at the top of the hour. Our retirement show continues. We'll talk with Cal Goodchild, my friend up at Benton High, who is retiring as football coach, and that's coming up next here on a special edition of The Extra Point on 1410 KGRN.
You're listening to The Extra Point.
Tinsley's got it. Down court. Off the glass. Good! Jamal Tinsley! He has taken this game over.
Chris Varney talks with more guests coming up on 1410 KGRN.
Looking for a career in the healthcare field, but you think you don't have time or can't afford it? William Penn University in Oskaloosa has the answer with their RN to BSN program. Their nursing program is flexible, offering